Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you see how the gospel of Jesus Christ intersects with our daily lives and compels us toward gratitude and generosity. Well, hey, welcome back to Abound in Hope. I am Rex Gorman, and I'm here with...
Tom Regan.
I'm Darren Larson.
I'm Tom McGregor.
Yeah, and we are excited this week. We are kicking off something new. This is something we've been planning for a little while and vaguely alluding to for the past few weeks in order to build anticipation for all four of you who listen to this. and that's a joke. I know there's more than that.
Five.
Probably five.
Well, we listen to it. That's four of us.
That's why we do this. We love to hear ourselves talk. No, today we are kicking off something that we are calling our Counterpoints series. Darren, why don't you tell us a little bit about... what this is and why it's a good idea to do it right now.
Yeah, it's such a unique thing to think about how big the world of Christianity really is. And I think we get so caught up in our various denominations, various traditions, various...
Theological tribes,
yeah. And we kind of think that's the only way to think at some level. And we say, man, this is it. This is truth. This is the only truth that I can possibly believe. And even if you're raised in a church, you might say, man, you've been preached the same thing over and over again. You read it in your Bibles and you see it. And then you realize at some level, there actually is a whole world of Christendom out there that is legit and orthodox, by the way.
Yeah.
And they have a different view of you about certain things. And so one of the things we wanted to do was kind of an experiment in unity, I would say, to try to figure out how we as believers can view the world a little bigger than ourselves. And so this isn't to say that the convictions that we have and that are given by God are important, and things we've studied in Scripture and felt like are in Scripture are things that are important to us, because they really are. Mm-hmm. But it is a call and a plead for us to understand that there is we should take the stuff with humility and consider other points that are out there, knowing that Christians have different convictions and all of them are informed by Scripture. And So I think our experiment that we want to do over the next several weeks really will be talking about theology from different viewpoints that are all within the context of orthodoxy. Mm-hmm. These are things that we would say, this is orthodox Christian faith. It might be different than ours, but it is orthodox Christian faith. And I would say probably the foundation, the building block of this would be, as long as they hold to a scriptural view of the thing they're talking about, then we talk about it. Mm-hmm. And so I think what we're going to try to do over the next few weeks is really bring things up that help us to realize that the Christian world is just bigger than maybe what we believe it is.
Gotcha. So I think, you know, some people might, in hearing a room full of pastors wanting to talk about theology stuff, I would ask, why is this important for Imprint Church right now, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's important because when you think that my particular theological tribe is the only legitimate expression of discipleship to Jesus, then you cut out all of your brothers and sisters. Mm. At best, you view them with sympathy and want to bring them into the knowledge of the truth, but more often you look down on them and you treat them as something less than brothers and sisters. And so this damages the witness of the church. I think it breaks Jesus's heart. Mm. And also, I don't think it's faithful to Scripture. There are some things that are mysterious.
Yeah.
And the way that we put our theological understanding together with the same scriptural data really oftentimes moves that mystery around. There's some missing data, and different tribes will do different things with it, but they're all looking at the Bible, all looking to Jesus and trying to stay true.
Yeah.
And so by addressing that through this series, we hope to create a bigger sense of unity and charity on the east side, I think, but especially in our church, because there's diversity at Imprint, right?
Yeah.
An anecdotal story of this is my own wife, who has a story of growing up in a church called North Albany Baptist Church. And she was born and raised in the church. Her earliest memories are there. She came to know Jesus there and began to walk in her walk with Christ there, which is wonderful, and it's a great heritage. However, she tells a story now, and I wish she could tell it on this podcast. You can ask her if you know her. But she tells a story about how she, like, implicitly knew in her heart that all the other churches in Albany were somehow just a little bit wrong compared to North Albany Baptist Church, you know? And it was like the Presbyterians, the Methodists, the community church down the road, they were all not correct. Yeah. And so she had, and North Albany Baptist had, and I'm not picking on North Albany Baptist, I was married in that church, great pastors that I've known throughout the years, but she said there was something implicit in the context of that community that was like, we had the foundation, the cornerstone of truth. Mm. And she said it wasn't really preached from the pulpit in that way, it just was the feel. And I think we all have that, is what I'm trying to say, not just some church down in Albany, Oregon, but churches that we experience. And if we're not careful, it turns into our own pet peeves and things rather than theological clarity.
Yeah, pride doesn't need much help in growing in the human heart.
Yeah.
Okay, this is totally off script, and Rex can edit this out if he determines it's not good. But I have to do this because this joke came to mind, and I just looked it up. And I remember a pastor telling this. So if it's bombs, we'll just edit this out. But listen to this. Once I saw this guy on a bridge about to jump. I said, "Don't do it." He said, "Nobody loves me." I said, "God loves you. Do you believe in God?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Are you a Christian or Jewish? Are you Christian or Jew?" And he said, "A Christian." I said, "Me too." "Protestant or Catholic?" He said, "Protestant." I said, "Me too." "What franchise?" He said, "Baptist." I said, "Me too." "Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist?" He said, "Northern Baptist." I said, "Me too." "Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist?" He said, "Northern Conservative Baptist." I said, "Me too." "Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region or Northern Conservative Baptist Eastern Region?" He said, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region." I said, "Me too." Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council 1912? He said, "Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. I said, "Die, heretic," and I pushed him over. I could barely read that.
Oh my gosh.
I like how much faster you got as your
time. I was realizing this is going on for a long time.
My heart rate was increasing the entire time.
This may kill the podcast episode.
But no, it doesn't because what you just did.
I was trying to illustrate it.
It's so true,
so
though.
Well.
So, to identify with your wife a little bit, I grew up in the American South. And again, not saying anything bad about the tradition I came up in, Southern Baptist or any other churches or anything in the area, but it was the feeling of, well, we have it figured out. Even the other Southern Baptist church down the road or across the street. No, they don't have it figured out.
Yeah.
We're sort of the arbiters of truth here. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're trying to avoid here in doing this. So when we're talking about theology, we're talking about orthodoxy, and we're trying to show kind of a broad spectrum of orthodoxy. We're not talking about universalism or anything.
Correct.
Though, right? What are we talking about specifically when we talk about these theologies, these different views?
I think I can give a shot at that real quick, and feel free to throw in if you guys want to on this. I think the things that we're talking about are the essential things to the gospel, in a sense, essential things that we see in Scripture that we would say in some ways that we must believe if we're part of the Christian faith, if you will. And those are the things that kind of set the foundation of us actually building a conversation on. And that's where we would say there shouldn't be differences. There should be a unity of belief around those things. And those things are like the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the justification by faith.
Deity of Jesus. Deity of Jesus. Gets into the Trinity.
Yeah,
totally. I mean, these are things that are so important that we can, that if there's not unity of belief on those things, it actually creates disunity and we can actually separate from, and that's an okay thing. But the thing that's sad to me is that some of the most divisive issues among Christians concern not those things, they concern other things, which are more like a theological pet peeve that we have in our
own. Gotcha. Okay.
And so we can, some ways we can rank them. We can think of some categories in this. And it's funny, we've all used these categories before, I think, at various times.
Yeah, I think we mentioned some of these in the podcast already.
Yeah, Tom, do you want to talk to us about categories? Because there's been a couple ways we've used these.
Right. So the way that we've heard it used helpfully is that there are die for issues, there are divide over issues, debate over, and decide for. And so the die for issues are like the bodily resurrection of Jesus. Like, that's really important. And he's coming again, the second coming of Jesus to judge the living and the dead.
Yep.
And then so the divide over issues, divide is kind of a word that sounds negative, but it's okay in this context in that there are certain doctrinal considerations that will prevent you from being in the same church with someone else.
So for example, a lot of this is practice, right?
Right. So for example, the issue of baptism, is it believer's baptism or is it infant baptism?
Here's another thing. For Orthodoxy, everybody should have the same die for stuff.
Right, right.
When it comes to divide for,
that's a good clarification.
And below, you want to push as much right. possible below. So for divide
correct.
For, right. if you're not, it's not distracted by infant baptism, even if you disagree and you can maintain unity
right.
and grow,
right.
You know, like you should stay in the church.
Right. It's not, that's not an issue of Orthodoxy. There are legit yeah. saved believers who love the Lord Jesus Christ and who are committed to his word who arrive at different positions on yeah. infant baptism yeah. or believer's baptism. Mm-hmm. You're not saying that person's not a Christian because right. they don't believe in believer's baptism or infant baptism. So that's correct. The divide over. Or it might be like women in as elders or yep. as pastors, where you may have a conviction where women should be elders, and then it may be hard for you to be in a church that has mm-hmm. as a church that's complementarian and it only has men elders, or the vice versa, that you wouldn't feel comfortable being in a church where mm-hmm. there are women pastors, you
correct.
Know, and you would go along the lines of complementarianism. But we're saying you can be Orthodox, and it's not a die-for issue, but it yeah. may not be possible to fellowship in the same church, and that may correct. Be something yeah. that there's division yeah. over. Next tier down would be the debate-for yep. issue. I would probably put issues like eschatology on there, end times
correct.
Views.
Yep.
Other than the end time view of
Jesus, yeah, that
coming,
Jesus
back.
Is coming back,
Jesus
but like back. But, that's more like the particulars,
right? But the different schemes of how the end times are going to play out. I would also say on the and we're going to next couple of episodes we're going to be talking about Reformed theology versus like Arminian theology, so Calvinism yeah. versus Arminianism. We have people in our church currently who hold to the Reformed view of salvation mm-hmm. and who hold to an Arminian,
correct?
More mm-hmm. of a free will view of salvation, and we can and should be able to healthily debate over
yep.
those issues in Christian fellowship, and we welcome people to be
and
in the church.
And we put those at kind of right. tier three. We've pushed right. them down to not be a divide over issue. We've mm-hmm. pushed them down to be a debate over issue.
Now, so, if yep. you have a particular conviction that I want to be under a pastor who has an Arminian view, then for you that may be a divide over issue. Maybe you go to a church. For us, we've chosen like mm-hmm. we feel like we should be able to coexist in the same church, in the same fellowship, so long as we're waving the Jesus banner, and of course
yeah.
that's going to color my preaching, my particular view. It's going to color it, but I'm not flying mm-hmm. the banner for a particular
yeah.
theological school. I just want to be flying Jesus.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah, it's
and,
possible to
right.
to maintain, you know, to be faithful to Scripture right. and to have these things and hold these different
right.
these other different
yes.
views.
So that's a debate over, and the last issue would be what we call decide for. So it's 4 D's, decide for. That's like musical preferences.
Totally.
You know?
Yep.
Like worship styles, should
yep.
I wear a tie? Do I dress up? Do I dress casual?
Yep.
And that's not something that we want to divide over. That's something you can simply decide. I'm not even sure you should be debating over.
I was going to say, it's not even something we'd want to debate over. Right. You know, that's a stylistic thing a lot of times right. that you're going to say, man,
yeah.
I'm not going to make a choice about fellowship based on
right.
that.
And I know in some denominations, drinking alcohol would be higher up on the level. Probably here where we are, we would just say, you know, you decide if you're going to drink alcohol or not.
Totally. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. It's interesting. So in other words, to kind of encapsulate those in something, those first rate die for things are essential and are significantly important for scriptural integrity in a
right.
sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those second level things, which are the divide over things, are things that are urgent for church history and church kind of where you're going to worship and all that kind of stuff. The three, the third rank, which is debate over, are things that we would say are important for Christian living and your own discipleship, and you should actually mm-hmm. spend some time kind of thinking through and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then the fourth would be kind of those decide for things are kind of indifferent and insignificant and sometimes lead to harmful things that don't actually promote unity if we're not careful with those. And so what's interesting is that we are going to spend most of our time over these next weeks talking about what we would consider second and third rate issues.
So with that, I have a question.
Yeah.
I know we've kind of given some examples of first rate, these kind of things. How are we defining first rate? I know we've said like these are things that are dependent on orthodoxy and that kind of thing.
Hmm.
Is it like stuff that is, you know, essential for salvation? Like does somebody need to believe you know, I guess at the period of conversion, do they need to believe everything that we would call first tier in order to make it into the church or to be saved?
Man, God is so gracious.
Right?
That he'll invite you into relationship on like next to nothing. Really all you have to do is believe the gospel. You can believe a lot of wrong things.
and hopefully you're not going to stay there, right?
Well, that's the thing.
Christian,
the Holy Spirit will
right.
move you forward,
right.
my friend.
Right. I remember reading, I can't remember who it was, but years ago, this guy who's like a Christian scholar now, he said when he was converted, he thought the Trinity was the Father, the Son, and Mary.
Oh, no. Oh,
my God. And he's like, he was legit converted. Like, he legit came to Jesus and received forgiveness of sins. But his doctrine of the Trinity was messed up based upon whatever he had been taught previously. Mm. And obviously, he came around. So that's a good question, Rex. I think the essentials, the things that we're going to say, these are really important, have to do with the nature of God and the nature of salvation.
Got it.
And for sure, things that are necessary for salvation or die for. Mm-hmm. But I think we move some other things in there because God doesn't keep you at like the bare minimum.
Yeah, not at square one.
So an important part of your question, Rex, was what do you need to know to be saved? I don't think you need to know how to articulate the Trinity.
Yeah, totally.
The doctrine of the Trinity in order to be saved.
Yeah, how do you get saved? What is the biblical formula for salvation? It's a great question. I wonder if our listeners would even know that. Like, because it's a tough question to think of, but I think it has a really simple answer in Scripture, which is simply repent and believe. You know? Like, that is the formula for Scripture of how to be saved, you know?
Yeah.
And in the end, God will know perfectly what's happening in someone, you know?
I think another part of an answer to that question that might kick us off into another direction is I think that there's an element of humility that you want to maintain. And so that die for stuff for me is actually all the tiers. Mm-hmm. It's levels of certainty.
Yeah.
I am 100% certain, and Scripture is 100% clear, and church history has been pretty uniform on some issues.
Yeah,
and
that's
true. So I should be willing to die for those. There are other things where there's been, you know, some mystery like I talked about earlier, or there's been some diversity in church history. And then you kind of go down through those tiers, and the less certain I am that Scripture is absolutely clear, and the more important it is for salvation and Christian living and unity, the more I want to move those down.
Yeah. So I went to a conference years ago, and you know how at pastors' conference they hand out books and things like that.
Oh, for sure.
You go along, and either they give them out free as part of your registration cost, or you just go pick one up at a table. And I happened to be passing by a theological seminary's table, and I picked up a book that was written by a man named Michael Whitmer. He's a professor of theology and historical theology at Grand Rapids Theological Seminary. And I picked this book. It's called Don't Stop Believing, which obviously caught my attention. That's right. Nailed it. Yeah. A little Steve Perry and Journey couldn't.
Don't finish that or we'll get flagged. So.
Oh, man. It's true. Yeah. We'll get booted off the Apple Store
something like that.
Yeah. But the title was Don't Stop Believing Why Living Like Jesus Is Not Enough. And so I think he did a really excellent way of classifying what we would call kind of first rank essential to the gospel things by putting Christian belief in three categories. And what he said it is this, and you have to kind of ponder this for a minute because I think it's really well done. He says, what you must believe, what you must not reject, and what you should believe as kind of this is first rate stuff is what he's talking about here. And so in other words, and he drew it as kind of a target. In the center of the target is the must believe stuff. The second level of the target is the must not reject stuff. And on the outside of that is should believe stuff. And I like the way he classified this because in the must believe stuff, we must believe we're a sinner and we must believe that Jesus saves me from sin. Like that is a must believe to be a Christian. Here's the interesting thing. The next level is the must not reject. These are things you may not know about if you come to Christ, right? Like if you know you're a sinner and you come to faith and repentance, then you're a Christian. But the interesting thing is he has this must not reject thing where he talks about in there is the deity and humanity of Jesus, which we're making first rank, right? Or the historical truth of the significance of Jesus' death, life, and resurrection, his bodily resurrection, which are first rate to us. Those are things in there that he would say, you must not reject these things. Now, you may not know them. You may be like the prisoner who died next to Jesus, right, on the cross.
Yeah.
And right. today you're going to be with me in paradise. Do you think
he knew all of the Philippian jailer? What must I do to be saved?
Yep.
Yeah. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved.
Yeah.
What about Jesus? Maybe we could get a little more, you know, lesson on who Jesus is. And he's just maybe hearing some psalms.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then he has that third category just to wrap this up, which is the should believe stuff. In other words, like you may not know this stuff, but if you found out about it, you kind of go back to what you were saying a second ago, Tom, is that you should believe this stuff, that the Bible is God's word, that that God is perfect, that humans are made in the image of God. These are things that we would say you should believe this stuff if you're a Christian, but you might not have it when you first become a Christian. So I kind of like the bullseye approach in a sense to make the first rate stuff, the die over stuff, really clear to me.
Yeah, you that's
know?
Good.
I don't know if that's helpful to you, at least to me.
I think it's true. And I do think it's something that you have to spend time thinking about in some sense if you're going to follow Jesus. I think it's easy, you know, if you lump everything into the die for category, you're just going to be throwing bombs left and right.
Because everyone's a heretic.
Yeah, everyone's a heretic.
Because they don't agree with you on stuff that should be pushed down to secondary and tertiary levels.
You're going to push people off the bridge, like in the joke you told, you know? But then on the other side, you know, you can't, you also can't be the person who says, well, I'm just going to believe in Jesus and love people well. You're going to at some point have to make some distinctions, even if it's just like, well, who is Jesus?
Yeah.
You know, is it important that we all believe the same thing about Jesus? Because there's not a way to not do something. So you don't want to have like minimalism, but at the same time, you don't just want to be so sectarian that you...
So which leads us to the idea of why are we doing that right now? Like, why did we just choose to do this podcast right now? Mm-hmm. And I think I think to go back to Rex's word, there's a huge danger right now in doctrinal sectarianism.
Sectarianism.
You know? Sectarianism.
It's the horse.
Sectarianism. You know, there's like this... there's this thing that happens within the human heart, I think, that creates natural divisions in the body of Christ. Like, this is my thing, that's your thing, you're wrong, I'm right, you know, whatever it might be. And so I think in order to give people a sense of what's proper to have urgent views about things, to have a grid and a category for that may be really helpful. Like the first rate stuff, you should have an urgent view of that. Like it should concern you if there's a church that's rejecting the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's a good thing to be concerned about.
Yeah, you can get fired up, not just concerned.
Yeah. So, but you shouldn't be concerned if the church down the road decides to do something different than the way your church chooses to do it, as long as it's within the bounds of the thing of the categories we just gave you. So I think for us, like, we want to create unity in giving this podcast here, and we want to help people view things like even the people who might sitting in the pew next to you. We don't have pews at Imprint Church, but you know what I'm saying? Like the person next to you might have a very different view of something than you do, as long as it's within the bounds of orthodoxy and scripture. Like, let's have some belief for the best of other people and to allow them to search and find out what theology they have in the long run.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I mean, the church is called to be, I can't remember the verses, but we're called to be the buttress of the truth, you know? And so there are these things that we're not only to, like, again, there's the die over stuff. Mm-hmm. There are also things we can take like great, great pride in. And I think when the pride starts creeping into the third and fourth tier things, that's where things become really dangerous, and you do get the person who, well, are you Calvinist enough for me to be my friend, or are you Armenian enough to be my friend? Do you believe the right eschatology enough to be my friend? That kind of thing.
Right, and I don't think any of us are here saying that we are in any way softening or compromising on the truth,
but there should
be a spirit of charitability and Christian charitability toward one another, even if they believe different things. So next week we're going to be talking about Reformed theology, and I have a friend who was in Imprint Church, who has a very foul and long tasting, like bad taste in his mouth from college, because that's where he first encountered Calvinists, and they were arrogant and they were aggressive. They were
Calvinists that are arrogant.
You know what I mean? And it's so, I mean, as we're going to talk about next week, like if any theology should destroy human pride, it should be Calvinist theology. If you're going to attribute, you know, your salvation to God, and that he initiated and he effectually brought you to himself, then how can you be arrogant as you deal with people who talk to people who don't agree with you? And so hopefully that's I'm not picking on Calvinists, but I am saying that's a very clear example of how people can elevate their theological position as a means of wielding pride in the body. And it's just damaging.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if we're only looking for the differences with other believers or seeing the issues that other believers have, we tend to define ourselves by those differences, and that creates quite a bit of unhealth, you know?
For sure.
Like if those become your pet theological ideas or whatever, that does not, I don't even think that's healthy individually. Like it's not only healthy for unity in the body of Christ, but I feel like that's unhealthy for just your spiritual growth.
And it's not accurate. Theology.
No, it's not.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Well, so if your theology, and I would argue that any accurate theology won't do this, but if your theology compels you to dislike other people and to treat them poorly, that's not coming from Jesus. And if it compels you to treat others poorly, you're either giving that theology a bad name, as is often the case with certain camps, or you haven't figured it out. So anyway, that's one of the, I think one of the beautiful things about people that are absolutely godly and firmly convicted Calvinists who act in love and grace towards other people, it actually, it's winsome.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, maybe I've gotten this wrong. Or people that are like not leaky canon Arminians,
yeah.
you know, that actually take the Bible seriously and say, well, no. It's by grace through faith. We just put the mystery over here a little bit. And absolutely, I believe the inerrancy of Scripture and blah, 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 and I love you. You know, that compels some credence, I think.
Leaky canon. You meant leaky canon of Scripture.
Yeah.
Well, I've never heard that before.
Oh, yeah, that was a loaded thing.
That was a good moment. Sorry.
Well, you know, when like the Holy Spirit told me, that's a leaky canon. The canon's not set. Gotcha. Whatever you're feeling.
I've just never heard it referred to like that before. I think that's
maybe it's a Portlandism.
That's
I don't know.
I sometimes wonder if the pride and the division that comes out on tertiary issues is a result of people finding more of a sense of identity in their theological camp
than
inside the family of God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
And I'll candid moment here, and I'll try to withhold details just for the sake of sensitivity. Mm-hmm. There have been periods in my life, not even too long ago, where I was had a spirit of, I think, judgment and superiority. Toward other churches, or even kind of like that tend to run in a certain tribe,
mm-hmm.
you know, and have theological connections within that tribe that I disagreed with. And I would vocalize my concern / complaint to my wife, Lindsay. And after a while, she just said, I'm trying to remember how she said it, but she put it graciously. She's like, I think you are in kind of trending toward or in danger of pride in how you're viewing other churches, and you're and you don't want to be the Christian who's defining yourself in church by what you're against, but what you are also for, you know, because so much of my inclination was to react against trends that I saw that I disagreed with. And so again, I think there are some boundaries that we draw around us that are going to be like what we're not about and what we are for. So I don't buy completely the argument that you should never be defined by what you're against. I think there can be some helpful lines drawn in the sand, but what she put her finger on was a spirit of pride, and like the Lord used that to rebuke me. Mm-hmm. And I realized I had been prideful because I thought I'm doing this right. And my ministry philosophy is a lot different than what I'm looking at. And so I'm trying to learn even now, like, how do I live as a Christian and conduct ministry as a pastor in a way that is in line with my convictions, biblical convictions, biblically informed convictions about ministry philosophy without, you know, throwing down in a spirit of pride on churches that do it differently than me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You kind of wonder if that experience kind of poisons you a little bit, like that feeling. You don't even know it's poisoning you.
Right.
It's like a slow-working poison.
Yeah, and that's why I've said, you know, pride and self-righteousness is kind of like a carbon monoxide. It's a deadly gas that it's odorless, it's tasteless, and it can just kill you.
Yep.
Yeah,
pride is hard to detect. And so sometimes that pride needs to be pointed out by other people. And if you have loving people in your life, like my wife, pointed it out, you know, that I didn't see it.
I know my experience is like the theological convictions I've done the same thing with, where I've had a spirit of kind of animosity and pride against. Most often when I become convicted and trace it back, it's because somebody connected with that viewpoint hurt me, either interpersonally or, you know,
ideologically, just in a kind of vague sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I wonder how, I mean, I know for me, when there's something that carries moves up the ladder as close as possible to a tier one, and I know it's not, but I feel so emotionally like hot about it. I often feel like that there's some hurt that I haven't dealt with the Lord yet.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, I do think we do have to be careful. I do think that pride creeps in. And I mean, I've seen a lot of churches split over what we would call tertiary or even fourth tier doctrines or issues or that kind of thing. But as we're talking about this, Darren, what's kind of our guiding light in this as we're walking through these things? I think there's some people might be asking, well, we seem to be on some good rails here. Why do we need to listen to others? And what's this call for?
Well, I think I kind of alluded to this a little bit maybe towards the beginning of our podcast, but the idea is that sometimes the things that we've seen that are most divisive among Christians right now concern not tier one or theological issues, but more so cultural or wisdom or even sometimes political issues that have created so much division. And so I think in this way, the reason why we set these guardrails up for this first episode of our Bound in Hope kind of, you know, podcast for Counterpoints would be to say, like, let us work towards a humble attitude and let us work towards finding what our real beliefs are about things and what's kind of most important in a sense. Mm-hmm. And that requires the step back to be humble, to go to, you know, to kind of get a, maybe this should have been our podcast number two on humility or something like that.
it's all there. Yeah.
There's a really great book that I've found just a helpful one by Gavin Ortland called Finding the Right Hills to Die On. The Case for Theological Triage. And it's just a really good book to kind of read through to. He talks about, he doesn't use the same language we use today necessarily, but he talks about kind of these same categories
with
that
the,
we...
With the D's.
The D's, yeah. Yeah, he does something a little bit different and talks about the different ways that you can view things. He talks about primary, secondary, and tertiary doctrines and what you can do in each of those. And it's a helpful thing because he even gives some personal examples in there. It's worth reading. But what I was going to end with, I think we can end this podcast with, is the conclusion that he has, which, interesting enough, like our podcast, is a call to humility. He's talking about how he was reading Augustine's book that he was just mentioning in here about how someone asked how to create theology in the way of Christ. And he turned around and explained, and he said this. He goes, "This way is first in humility. Second, it's in humility. And third, it's in humility. And however often you should ask me, I would say the same. Not because there are no other precepts that I need to explain, but if humility does not precede and accompany and follow every good work we do, and if it's not set before us to look upon and beside us to lean upon and behind us to fence us in, pride will wrest from our hand any good deed we will do while we are in the very act of even taking pleasure in it."
Dang.
Wow. So how do we do theology? First, humility. Second, humility. Third, humility. Like, and I think that's what we're aiming at here. And I'm not even saying I'm with Tom. I don't feel
Darren,
like...
let me...
Yes.
What is the... How... Can you describe how to have humility while at the same time holding strong convictions? Because we don't want people hearing, oh, being humble means you don't have strong views on things. So I have very strong views on things biblically and theologically.
Yeah.
So how can I... How does humility work with the idea of having strong convictions?
Something that just shoots into my mind right away is the idea of being strong enough not to fight over things, you know, like if you can look at someone and have a genuine love and care for them and know that they have a difference of opinion than you about something that is not top tier stuff, then you can say, I'm not going to fight with that person because they're a Christian brother, a Christian sister. And
I would say, you know, there's a, I don't know. We have to remember why we have theology in the first place. I think there's a tendency in learning things about God to say of theology, man, I know all these things. Look how awesome I am.
Pride of knowledge.
When in reality,
it's pride of knowledge. Yeah,
when in reality, it should be, man, I'm learning all these things about God. Look how awesome God is.
Yeah.
So it should put, I feel like it should put us in the proper place to know that we aren't handling opinions that we have. We're handling. Yeah. We're handling huge, weighty things.
It's a self-revelation of the creator of the living God.
Exactly.
Who himself had very strong opinions in the person of Jesus.
And was yet humble and,
yet
gentle.
So humble and gentle.
Yeah. So I think, you know, to give it to part two to the answer to that as well is that I think allow yourself to know where your heart goes off the rails a little bit. I think a good place to start, this is going to sound kind of self-serving in a sense, but when we created the doctrinal statement for Imprint Church, it was based around having some fenced in rails that were really important, but it gave a lot of freedom in various other things that we felt like were the secondary things. And so in some ways you have to know where your rails are. And know when, you know, this is not as important and I've made this a top tier thing. And that's super, that's hard to do. It's because it's self-inspection and self, looking at yourself. And I think we all deal with that. I mean, as Tom is sharing his story, I can think of so many times in my life where I've had theological pride and I've just felt like I was better and I knew more and I knew the Bible better and I was more exegetical or whatever. And, and just the Lord can use that stuff to just, you know, scream, your pride is killing you. You're poisoning your own soul. So I don't know. There's a couple of things I think off right off the bat. So
well, I'll add one last thing. I would encourage you as we're walking through this. We really hope you'll walk through this with us and understand we have you in mind, Imprint Church. We have your mm-hmm. unity in mind. We also hope that you'll walk through this in community. Because I think, you know, the DIY piece by piece podcast theology is a really dangerous thing. So I would encourage you, one of those ways to, you know, we're reading a book right now by Paul David Tripp, and he said there's a lie that says I know myself better than anybody else. Anybody else can know me. Yeah, I'm perfectly aware of myself. I butchered that so bad.
I read it. But, I'm reading it too, so I knew what you're saying.
Yeah, I appreciate it. But we'd encourage you walk through this stuff in community. We'll attach our doctrinal statement to this when we post it online, and encourage you to walk through this and follow along with us and ask questions, dig in, and we're excited about this. We think it's going to be really fun. So, but that's about it for now. I think
tune in next week for
next time. tune in next week. We're actually going to kick off a 2-week series on soteriology.
It's funny. I kind of wonder if we should even do one more of these
on
the idea of common grace.
Yes.
Oh,
do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think next week we should cover something else.
Okay, so next week we are not.
We lied to you.
I lied.
That's okay.
Next week we are not.
We usually have too many words in too little time.
That's true. Okay, so that's a great topic to cover. Join us next week as we talk about common grace. But for now, we will see you later.
See ya.
Adios.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.